April 24 is like a sacred day for Armenians, because it's basically the loss of our homeland, and the only tangible thing that we have is the memory, or is the truth of that memory. And April 24, it's a very sacred day for Armenians. You will hardly find an Armenian in the world who did not lose someone during that Armenian genocide. It literally affected a whole people.
And the way they commemorate the Anzac is nothing to do with me. It's not relevant to me. It's basically Australians and Turks, no one else. That's not history.
It's probably impossible to miss the fact that the 25th of April 2015 marks 100 years since the Anzacs landed at Gallipoli. In recent years, it's become widely remembered as Australia's baptism of fire, a new kind of national day. But in this centenary year, how fine is the line between commemoration and celebration? How much history is lost in the carnival of commemoration? Does the fanfare around Anzac obscure other important historical events that also deserve to be remembered? The 24th of April 2015 marks another day of mourning. It is the centenary of an event that took place very close to Anzac Cove and that was horrific in both nature and scale, the Armenian Genocide. When Ottoman rulers went about the systematic and deliberate elimination of Christian minorities living within the Ottoman Empire, Armenians, Assyrians and Greeks were massacred, deported and ordered on marches into the interior of Turkey, where they perished by the thousands. Churches and homes were destroyed and seized. Estimates vary, but it's widely agreed that between 1 and 2 million Armenians were killed as a result of the events between 1915 and 1923. On 3CR Radio Melbourne and on the Community Radio Network, I'm Nicole Kirby, and this is a special program to commemorate the centenary of the Armenian Genocide. Today, the Turkish government, the direct successor of the Ottoman Empire, runs a strong campaign denying the Armenian Genocide. And while at the time that it was happening, Australia mounted a strong humanitarian relief effort, today few Australians remember the Armenian Genocide, and the Australian government fails to recognise it. Current politics play a role in how we remember past wrongs, and the Armenian Genocide is an inconvenient disruption to the Anzac myth. On this program, we uncover a piece of history that's rarely remembered when we speak about the Anzac legend. I speak with Armenian Australians whose families survived the genocide and who tell us about the links between the Armenian Genocide, Anzacs, and the politics of remembering.
On April 24, the day before the Anzac landings, about 250 Armenian intellectuals in Constantinople, which was only miles away from the Gallipoli Peninsula, were arrested, imprisoned, and deported to the interior of Turkey. Many of them were killed in the course of a few months. And that was the symbolic beginning of what we term now the Armenian Genocide. And what happened after that date was in almost every town and village in the Ottoman Empire, Armenian men, women and children were rounded up and deported. But most of the Armenian men of military age had already been drafted into the Turkish military. And so basically the deportations targeted the women and children and the elderly males. And over the course of a few months, many of them were killed on the road to deportation. And so roughly there were about 2 million Armenians in the Ottoman Empire prior to World War I. And by the end of 1915, at least 1 million Armenians had been killed during the Armenian Genocide. My name is Vikan Babkenyan, and I'm an independent researcher for the Australian Institute for Holocaust and Genocide Studies. And I'm currently writing a book with Professor Peter Stanley on Australia's response to the Armenian Genocide.
The close proximity in both time and place of the Anzac campaign at Gallipoli and the Armenian Genocide is no mere coincidence of history. Christian minorities had been persecuted throughout the latter half of the 19th century in the Ottoman Empire, but throughout World War I, these events were to reach a peak. In 1915, the once expansive Ottoman Empire was known as the sick man of Europe, a fading power. Attempting to claw back its former glory, the Ottoman Empire sought to create a monoethnic empire, introducing deliberate policies to wipe out its Christian minorities. Hearing of the impending landing at Gallipoli, and afraid of an Armenian uprising in the north, on the 24th of April 1915, the Ottoman government ordered the massacre of Armenian intellectuals and cultural elites in Istanbul. While men were killed or sent to war, Armenian women and children were sent on marches into the interior of Turkey, where they died by the thousands. When Raphael Lemkin coined the word genocide in 1944, it was to these events that he referred. I spoke with Vikan Babkenyan, who explores the historic links between the Armenian genocide and the Anzac campaign at Gallipoli.
And most people wouldn't know this, but 2 weeks before the Anzac landings at Gallipoli, about 22,000 Greeks were deported from the Gallipoli Peninsula. And the Greeks of Gallipoli, they were the native people of Gallipoli. They've been there for thousands of years. And they had lived there up until the First World War. They were the majority population of that peninsula. And they were deported just 2 weeks before the Anzac landings. And many of them died. So it wasn't just the Armenians who were being targeted by the Ottomans in their policy of homogenizing Turkey for the Turks. It was also the Greeks and other minorities such as the Assyrian Christians who suffered the same fate as the Armenians at that time. The Armenians were Christians and the Turks were Muslims. I think the idea behind the Armenian genocide was not religious. It was more nationalist-based. But religion was used to inflame hatred and used as a tool at that time. But it was more to achieve a political and racial national objective of creating basically a Turkey for Turks. It's important to note that not all Turkish society approved of the Armenian genocide. It was a government orchestrated effort, but there were segments of society that saved Armenians. In fact, my mother's side, her whole family was saved by a Turkish family. So there were a lot of stories of Turks who actually saved Armenians during World War I. And sadly, a lot of their stories have not been told in Turkey. One of the misconceptions with the historical narrative of Gallipoli is that Anzacs or the Allies went to war against Turkey. Turkey was not a state until 1923. In 1915, during World War I, it was the Ottoman Empire. And the Ottoman Empire was a multicultural empire. So its forces reflected the multicultural makeup of the empire. So even when the Anzacs landed on April 25, the first Ottoman contingent that they met, two-thirds were Syrian Arabs. Many of them were led by Turkish officers. But the units were not generally all homogeneous Turks. They were made up of different nationalities which reflected the makeup of the Ottoman Empire. And there were many non-Muslims that were part of the Ottoman forces as well. They were generally mostly as labor corps, but there were also many, particularly Armenians, in the medical corps of the Ottoman army. And there were also Armenians fighting, so that we have a number of Armenians who received medals for their bravery at Gallipoli for fighting for the Ottoman cause. So when even we talk about the dead on the other side of Gallipoli, we normally refer to them as Turkish dead, or we say 80,000 Turkish dead, but that's not true because that 80,000 were Ottoman dead, which meant there were Arabs, there were Turks, there were Greeks, there were Armenians. So just like we don't call British contingent as British dead, we specify Anzacs, Australians, New Zealanders, and even now we know how many Aborigines were part of the Anzac forces. I think in the Australian historical narrative, we have to also include the fact that the Ottoman army was a multicultural army. many of the captives that the Anzacs, when they captured Ottoman soldiers, they would notice that many of them were non-Turks. Because a lot of Armenians had studied in American missionary schools, they were recruited as interpreters for the Anzacs. The Anzacs knew there were quite a number of Armenians on the other side. One part of the Anzac narrative that's missing is the Anzac encounters with Armenians. So at Gallipoli, many Anzacs encountered Armenians as prisoners of war or deserters from the Ottoman army. Many of them were recruited as guides or interpreters. And also there was a truce in May, an armistice to bury the dead on both sides. And the interpreters that were used at that truce, they were Armenian interpreters. But also, as many Anzacs were captured as prisoners of war, they talk about their encounters with Armenians in Turkey, seeing Armenians being deported, and many of them were held in Armenian churches and homes, in a place called Afyonkarahisar, where the Armenian section of the town and the church were used to house POWs. And literally all the POW accounts that I've read, they mention the Armenian church and they mention the Armenian part of the town. And when the Anzacs died in captivity, they were buried in Armenian cemeteries in Afyonkarahisar and in other parts as well, in a place called Belemedik. Many Australians don't know that there was another front to the war with the Ottomans, and that was the Syria-Palestine front, where the light horsemen, and they would encounter Armenian deportees as they were advancing on that front. And there's one very moving account of an Australian camelier who carries a four-year-old Armenian girl on his camel to safety. And as they approached Syria and when the war ended, there are accounts of Australians seeing hundreds of dead bodies of areas that were massacre sites as well. There were quite a number of encounters with Armenians during that time and Anzacs. It doesn't fit in well with the Anzac legend, because the Anzac legend as it is that there's a Turkish enemy that's a chivalrous enemy, and it's an uncomfortable part of that story to mention that the Armenians were treated in that way.
On 3CR Radio Melbourne and on the Community Radio Network across Australia, I'm Nicole Kirby, and you've been hearing from historian Vikan Babkenyan. While the Anzac centenary has become a national preoccupation, at the same time and place, another significant historical event was taking place that we hear much less about. 2015 marks the centenary of the beginning of the Armenian Genocide, where between 1 and 2 million Armenians lost their lives. This is a special program to mark that centenary, as we consider the significance of remembering the past in its full complexity.
My name is Vahe Kateb, and I was born in Lebanon. My father was survivor of the Armenian Genocide, and my mother was the first generation of survivors. Almost every year there are books written on Gallipoli. Historians write, you know, different books on Gallipoli. Unfortunately, hardly any book talks about the Armenians, even though Armenian Genocide is an integral part of the Gallipoli campaign. And it's very, very hard, if someone does the proper research, historians, there's no way they can miss what happened to the Armenians in the Australian press. Because both Armenians and Australians had the same enemy. It was the same geographic location, and the articles on the Armenian massacres were published almost next to the articles of the Anzac and the Gallipoli campaign. So there's no way they can miss it. But somehow historians are ignoring the fact of the Armenian Genocide. They taking only the Australian part of it. From late 1915, the Australian press started describing how Turks were massacring the Armenians, exterminating the Armenians, and they called it Turkish method. And the first aspect was the conscription of Armenian soldiers, youth, into the Turkish army and then exterminating it. And part of that extermination happened on the Gallipoli front, where thousands of Armenians were killed. And one of the articles that was published in several newspapers had the title of Hard-Driven Armenians, and described how Armenian soldiers were driven by from Constantinople to Gallipoli. I think it's about 350 kilometers with little food and water. And then they were ordered to attack the Anzac. But some of them, they entered the Australian trenches. They gave up their arms. They didn't fight. And then the Anzac realized they were Armenians. They weren't Turks.
The Armenian genocide was very well widely reported from the beginning. So even from the beginning of 1915, you would get news reports on the front pages of Australian newspapers of the massacres. By September, October, you had newspaper articles in Australia saying 800,000 Armenians exterminated, using those words, race extermination, atrocities. There was a huge response. By December 1915, we had records that there was an Armenian relief fund that was formed in Melbourne. And by late 1916, it had grown. So we had a lot of prominent Victorians that were members of the fund. And so the first grassroots drive for Armenian relief was in April 1917, and when they held an Armenian Sunday. So on that Sunday in April, the churches, Sunday schools, and people were urged to donate money to the Armenian Relief Fund. And the relief fund literally continued all the way to the 1930s. Even after the war, the Armenians were destitute. There were thousands of refugees in the Middle East, in the Caucasus. So the Australian Relief Fund continued to the 1930s. It's one of Australia's first major international humanitarian relief efforts. By 1922, there were relief committees in every state in Australia, and including subcommittees in regional areas. And there were almost monthly shipments of relief supplies that were going to the Middle East.
Given the fact that the Armenian genocide was so widely reported in the Australian media at the time, and that it prompted such a widespread response within Australia in sympathy and support for the Armenian cause, why is it that this has faded in memory so much, that now that we come up to the centenary of Anzac, we hear so little about the Armenian genocide?
Australia's growing strong relationship with Turkey, particularly these past few decades, has meant that what we know about Gallipoli and how we remember it kind of needs to reflect the current good relations. In the formulation of the Gallipoli story, this is an inconvenient aspect of that friendship. So I think that's one of the main reasons in official and popular works that you don't find mention of the Armenians, mainly because the Turkish government hasn't come to terms with having killed the Armenians, and also of confiscating all their properties. And they haven't embarked on the process of transitional justice, unlike a lot of other Western countries who have, with the treatment of their indigenous people. So I think how we remember Gallipoli today in Australia is strongly influenced by our relationship with Turkey. At the time, Australia knew very well what was going on, which is reflected in the media reports and the strong humanitarian response. 100 years from that, the Armenian massacres and the relief effort have fallen away from our collective memory. And up until this point, the Australian government has not held a position on what happened to the Armenians. But late last year, Julie Bishop, our foreign minister, came out explicitly and said that Australia does not recognise the events as genocide. And at the same time, saying that we value our friendship with Turkey, which is part of the G20. The Australian government's position at the moment is one of a denial that this was genocide. And I think the reason why it gets away with it is because of the ignorance of the majority of Australians, the fact that the Armenian massacres and genocide is not well known today, whereas 100 years ago it was. Well, there was a threat when the New South Wales Parliament recognised the Armenian genocide in 2013. There was a threat from the Turkish Foreign Ministry to those who voted for that they were not welcome at Gallipoli. So this issue is very sensitive for Turkey, and they're not afraid to say it.
That was Vikan Babkanyan. This program looks at Anzac, World War I, the Armenian Genocide, and the politics of remembering. Vache Karamanyan, the Executive Director of the Armenian National Committee of Australia.
We see the pressure that the Republic of Turkey has put on Australia to ensure that Australia as a country does not recognise the events of 1915 as a genocide. Time and time again, the Turkish government, through its ambassador, through official representations here in Australia, has used very sadly the Anzac Cove and the Gallipoli story as a bargaining chip to put pressure on the Australian government not to take any further steps on recognition of the Armenian genocide. And what I mean by that is that they have stated to the Australian, successive Australian governments, that should Australia recognise the Armenian genocide, then we may have to close Anzac Cove for an indefinite amount of time for repairs and renovations. And sadly, Australia has succumbed to the threats of the Republic of Turkey, which of course isn't something new. They've used similar threats to differing degrees against France, against Canada, against Russia, against Germany, against Argentina, and a whole host of other nations who have recognised the historical reality of the Armenian genocide. Turkey, I think, has two dilemmas in its midst. Firstly, it can't bring itself to accept the fact that its forefathers committed a crime against humanity. They can't accept the fact that a genocide was committed. But more than that, it is the fear of compensation, it's the fear of reparation that will ensue after recognition of the Armenian genocide. And, you know, if we will look at the perfect example of how Germany dealt with its post-World War II history, for many years it shied away from acknowledging that the rulers of the German Empire were responsible for the wholesale massacre of 6 million of its European Jewry. But today Germany stands steadfast in the condemnation of the crime of genocide. It continues to mend its fences with the Jewish people and advocates as a huge champion on the international arena for the eradication of this crime. But sadly, what we see in Turkey is a continued denial of the Armenian genocide. And denial is the final frontier. It is the final crime, or it is the final element of genocide. And today, Turkey is a successor state with its current ruling regime, with President Erdogan. We see a country where it continues to implement a penal code, Penal Code 301, which makes it a crime to insult Turkishness, and speaking about the Armenian genocide is deemed to contravene that penal code.
The government of Turkey today still has a blockade against Armenia. Armenia is a landlocked country. So Turkey today is still inflicting pain on the Armenian people. And it's important for Turkey to come to terms with its history so that it doesn't repeat what it did in the past, to other minorities that are within the Turkish Republic today.
Let us not forget what happened at the time. Let us not attempt to whitewash history or be selective in the interpretation of history. We know that our Prime Minister Tony Abbott will rightfully be commemorating the centenary of Anzac Day on the 25th of April in Turkey. But it's important to note, and this is something that not a lot of people know internationally, that the victory of Gallipoli that the Republic of Turkey commemorates each year on the 18th of March, this year has been moved to the 24th of April. And you can see that at a state level there is a plan when the international community's attention will be on the centenary of the Armenian genocide, the Turkish government attempts to rewrite its own history. What I would hope the Prime Minister would have the courage to do on the 24th of April whilst in Turkey is to remember the 1.5 million victims of the Armenian genocide. And it's not only the Armenians who commemorate in this centenary year, it is the 750,000 Assyrians who were killed during that period as well. It's the 500,000 Greeks who also perished in the same genocidal campaign of the Ottoman Turkish Empire.
What upsets me about the day is the historical misrepresentation, because I think the greatest tribute that we can give to those who have fallen during war is to represent the truth of what happened at that time. So when, as an Armenian, you can see that for current political motives, the truth of Anzac, what really happened during World War One, is not being told in its fullest, then it's actually upsetting, particularly for an Armenian who knows the history quite well and whose family suffered during that time. And in some ways was saved by the humanitarian efforts of countries like Australia and America during that period. But 100 years later to be told, well, we can't talk about what happened to your people because we need to be on good terms with this particular country for certain economic or political reasons. It's upsetting.
It will be a very solemn day. It will be a day of mourning. It will be a day of grieving, but also a day of reflecting that 100 years on, an Armenian nation exists. The Armenian identity, the Armenian people, its culture, its language, its traditions still exist, even after a call was made in 1915 to ensure that the only Armenian to remain in existence should be one held in a museum as a specimen for the world to remember that Armenians did once exist.
That was Vache Karamanian. On the 24th of April 2015, the Armenian government will hold a global forum entitled Say No to Genocide. While countries such as Canada, France, Argentina, Greece and Russia will attend the forum and commemorate the genocide, both Australia and Turkey have refused to attend. I'm Nicole Kirby. On 3CR Radio Melbourne and around the country on the Community Radio Network, you've been listening to a special program that looks at the links between the 24th and the 25th of April, between the centenary of the Armenian Genocide beginning and of the Anzac forces landing at Gallipoli. And it asks, how selective is our memory of these events? Thanks to the guests on this program, Vahe Kateb, Vache Karamanian of the Armenia National Committee of Australia, and Vikan Babkanian, independent researcher with the Australia Institute for Holocaust and Genocide Studies. Thanks also to Burge Chikarian for his help with the program. In April 2016, a new book on the history of Australia, Armenia and the Great War will be released by New South Wales Press. Co-authored by Vikan Babkanian, who you heard from on this program, and Professor Peter Stanley.